You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
the Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and give you our honest opinions on those experiences. Heretofore, I added that last part just off the cuff. I don't know if it works.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
I feel like it's the middle part of two sentences.
Yeah.
It's
maybe
not the ending.
It didn't work. I'm never going to do it again.
You tried something. That's.
I got real wordy. I was writing tons of stuff today, and that happened too.
Heretofore.
I sound way smarter than I really am. At least when I use a big word, I don't use it incorrectly, like it so often happens.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
With people that try to do that. I can at least fake it till I make it.
I was really afraid you're going to bring up a specific example that I did on the podcast.
Oh, did you? I don't remember.
No, I don't know if I did or didn't. But
no,
that's
I have
what
no
I was
idea.
Expecting.
I mean, I don't know if you remember the show Cow and Chicken on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I actually do.
But chicken, that was his thing. He would use big words, but constantly in the complete wrong context.
Mm.
So, yeah, callback. So, hello, everybody. That was a weird divergent right off the bat. That's where we're at.
It's Cal and Chicken to callback? Okay.
I don't know. Side chart. I don't know what I'm talking about here.
I'm flustered.
I'm a little flustered because we have a guest in the studio this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that guest is your lovely wife.
Hey.
Mrs. Grind. Laura.
Mrs. Grind.
does that make me Mr. Grind?
Of course, yeah.
And then where does that leave you?
Mr. Experience.
Oh, that's well done. That was quick. That was very quick.
I take that. That was off the head, too. I don't know. So, hello, Laura. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who are listening and you heard a new thing at the intro, that was also the lovely Laura lending us her voice, contributing our new spoiler warning that will heretofore be at the beginning of every episode.
Awesome.
I used it correctly that time, right?
I think you did.
I did. So let's get to know Laura a little bit. I know.
What do you want to know?
Well, I know you're kind of beat the fuck up, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty.
So
pretty
in
sore
your
today.
Free time, while me and your husband are getting incredibly nerdy,
grinding,
and playing video games or watching movies,
mm-hmm,
you're doing something else.
Yeah, I prefer to do my grinding underground
yeah.
in a cave.
Are you a spelunker? Is that technically
that's not the preferred nomenclature.
It is not. Okay.
No.
What is the difference between what you do and a spelunker?
We regard the word spelunker as being for novices.
Really?
Yeah. And caver, so we say like cavers rescue spelunkers. But I think it's because originally they were called spelunkers and then too many noobs started to get involved, so then the real like serious cavers were like, well, I'm not a spelunker, I'm a caver, and then they kind of like, I think it evolved in that way. It'll probably go back the other way eventually when too
well,
many.
I just I think spelunker is a way better word.
It is. It is.
Caver.
I know it's
no,
very
I mean,
sad.
It has a lot of
very different sounds.
Yeah.
That word travels. It gets around.
And it sounds
spelunkers go spelunk. Like
it sounds foreign. But so you spent yesterday in a cave.
Yeah.
How long? Because I know you really do grind
that
out.
That was only maybe an 8 or 9 hour trip, but
only. Only an 8 or 9 hour fucking cave trip. You were underground for 8 to 9 hours.
Yeah.
What's your longest cave trip?
Probably like 23.
God.
Without sleeping.
Damn. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Like I knew you were hardcore, but like a day you were underground.
We used to do a lot of this cave survey where it would take us 7 or 8 hours to reach the frontier to even start the survey. And then we do that for several hours. And then you got to
come back,
limp your way all the way back out. Yeah, take a long time, especially if you're hauling a lot of gear, photo gear and stuff like that.
So I guess the next obvious question anybody listening is going to have, 23 hours in a cave, you got to poop, right?
Yeah.
So for real, like what
no,
the fuck? Like,
it is
people,
a serious question.
Yeah.
So I've been caving since I was 15 and I hold a personal record of having never pooped in a cave.
Wow, okay.
But I have to work at it, and it involves careful planning up to 2 to 3 days ahead of time.
careful planning in the fact of flushing out or plugging up?
Plugging up, being conscious
eating
of diet,
a lot of cheese.
And I usually take a couple of Imodium right before going in. an emergency Imodium if needed in the cave. But I have, my friends have plenty of poop stories. And when you're in a proper cave, you're supposed to leave nothing but footprints and you're supposed to bag it out and, well, and exit the cave.
I would hope, like, somebody, like, I would not want to be.
You make a cave burrito.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't want to, like, a cave,
is
I meant, it's like.
Is that a euphemism?
No, you take like a foil burrito and, like, roll it up.
A long chimney, like, stink's going to travel. If somebody drops a duke in there, it's going to stay with, like, fuck that.
Yeah, it's bad. You don't want that to happen. So I've, you know, been in the cave when my friend has, like, fallen on his back and, like, sharred himself and, like, you know, stuff like that. So you just manage the problems as they come up. But I'm nervous every time I go in might be the time.
That
but
you're going to lose that record?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the odds are stacked against
me. I've been caving with you once, and I am also never pooped in a cave.
Yeah.
So I got that going for me.
Yes, it's good.
So
I've been on 7 cave trips, and I think I pooped 4 times.
In the caves?
He's pooped a couple times. And it's the whole, hey, listen, there's not going to be a bathroom for a few hours. And
that's what
it is. Like a little kid on a road trip.
So it's like, never poop during those hours, but if you tell me you cannot poop in the next 3 hours, I'm like, I'm fine. And then 20 minutes and I have to poop.
It's like you and I, we have this same sensibility in movies.
Yeah.
Where I don't care what fucking movie I'm seeing, I'm going to pee through it. Mm-hmm. At some point, I'm really, really going to have to pee. And it's usually, you know, 40 minute mark. And then what happens at the 40 minute mark? Oh, here's a giant water sequence. Well, fuck, man. There that goes. I'm going to pee. So
that's pretty bad. Leave.
Maybe if I go caving again, don't tell me about pooping, and then I won't have the Ryan problem. Where
That's the thing. Is first cave trip, she was like, you know, you better not have to poop in the next 4 hours. You just need to get it done. I was like, yeah, I don't have to poop, but it is. It's as soon as you go too far,
the point of no return.
The point of no return. Where you
abandon all
cave.
Hope for pooping. Ye who enter here. Yeah.
It's like, well, I got. Guess what? What you told me to not do is gonna happen, and I'm gonna do.
Make a poopy.
Make a boom.
But that's a lot, like in a lot of the really big cave projects where they're down there for like 2 weeks at a time. Like,
so
waste management is a big component of
their planning.
2 weeks
at a time. That's insane.
Down by like Carlsbad, they have like Lechuguilla expeditions that are, they're underground for a considerable amount of time,
You ever had any interest in that?
I haven't. That's like caver bucket list, so.
So you do want to, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You do want to do that at some
point. I
know
folks that have been down there, but that would be like, that's like National Geographic.
That's hardcore.
Cool stuff, yeah.
So what did you get into yesterday? Were you mapping?
Yeah, we had the intention of surveying, and we actually are working on a over 40-mile system in southern Indiana. It's the longest cave in Indiana, and it's like, I think, the 7th longest in the U.S. right now. So we were going to go in and just keep adding to the map, which is really cool because it means you're discovering new passage that nobody's ever seen before, so you don't know what to expect. And they had spent some time digging, so the crawls were really horrendous, and a lot of the rock in this part of the cave is not very, it's not as good, so it makes it hard to, if you want to hang ropes and things, the rock is kind of fragile in places.
Okay, I get what
so
you're
saying. It's a little crumbly. and we got to this area, it's like this long, it's a tall canyon, and probably it's a 30-foot tall canyon in places, you know, I mean, it's body width maybe, and in parts the floor would drop open into this large pit, but you're kind of climbing up in the top part, but you can look down and see where the floor 20 feet below you is now 50 feet below you, and you're kind of snaking your way through the canyon with your bag. And I was supposed to be doing the map this time, and I was getting pretty nerved out about being that high up.
Yeah,
and
I would imagine.
Yeah, and I've had kind of a soft winter. I've been not doing as much sporting caving, and some of your footholds would give way. It was very like Indiana Jones-ish, so you know, you're kind of scared about that. And then we got to a spot, and I was caving with two guys that were like over 6 feet tall, and we got to a spot where the passage widened out, and you were supposed to put your knees on either side and crawl across a canyon where the drop was over 30 feet below you of just open air. And I would have had to really like stem out there. I was just like, I can't do it.
So that's where it came through.
Yeah. And I thought about it, but I was like, well, if we go into this unexplored cave, what if it just continues doing this? And I could maybe have one in me, but not several, you know.
Yeah.
And sure enough, one of our friends went up ahead and said that it did continue doing that. So I did make a good choice, but I beat myself up about being a puss about it. And
But you understood the limitation.
Yeah. So that part needs rope. So we didn't get to survey, but I did get to go back and help on a dig, and we got to we got to do we call it micro shaving. It's small small explosion, small blasting to clear out some rocks sometimes. If there's a stubborn one right in the way and we could see all this air going up into this hole and we could look up and see a big room up there. So you drill and you literally make these straws filled with gunpowder and wax, and then you wire them up and you go around the corner and fire in the hole, you know, so it's really fun.
So is there like permit involved with that? Is it just kind of Wild West style? You're 400 feet.
DIY.
20,000 leagues under the earth.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really like it's just a little percussion, and usually it'll just be enough to just, you know, just kind of crack the rock so you can kind of tap off the edge. So,
well, and you know,
it's not like a big kaboom.
I know
you don't want that.
I know you very well, and I know you're very serious about caving, and I know you would never take part in actively destroying something like that. Yeah, so.
And that's usually a last resort, and we do that. You know, we don't try to compromise. It is a controversial issue with some. If it's like a really delicate formation or something very like beautiful, but most of the time, like, we're kind of slogging through what is not really what's considered to be very, scenic passage. So sometimes there's just a big rock that's just sticking out right in your way and it just needs to become flat so you can get through and keep exploring. Our goal is really to just kind of keep getting miles on the map and not to just blast our way into the new cave, but we call it persuasion. So it was fun though. So we had a good trip. It was a good birthday beatdown.
So you are sore and cut the hell up.
Oh
right,
yeah,
correctly?
I'm all bruised up. Yeah, this was a real gear trasher too, and it just shreds your clothes. And so we all, you know, went to Goodwill and got a bunch of just garbage we could throw in the trash because it was really bad. And it just, you know, snags on your clothes and pulls your pants down, hooks your belt loops till you're like bare-assed in the crawlway, like trying to.
And that happened to you too?
Yeah.
Full moon so, under the ground?
Yeah, my friend behind me, I was like, I'm really sorry. He's like, it's all brown. I can't see anything. It's all mud. So
it's so fine. You could have also doo-dooed at that point. And nobody would have known.
Nobody would have known.
Nobody
yeah,
would have been
nobody
the wiser.
Known.
Yeah.
But Ryan's always been real good. I suppose some people would probably be kind of jealous or weird about that. Their wife bare-assing it through a cave with a bunch of men. But he's awesome. So it's good.
Well, you're an incredibly badass chick.
Thank you.
I got to say that. I mean, dude, fuck that. I would not spend 9 hours underground. I would not spend 23. I did it. We did, what, 2 hours?
Maybe three, yeah.
Three? And that was my fill. I mean, I would do something like that again.
Yeah.
I would never push beyond that.
Yeah. We call it entrance fever sometimes, though. You've been down there too long and you're just like, I need to see some daylight.
Yeah.
Like,
I could definitely get that.
I'm done down here.
But it was fun. And you kicked ass under there when you took us through. You were like amazing at it. You were
thank you.
Incredibly insightful, incredibly informative. And, you know, anybody local that ever wants to do it, reach out to Laura.
Yeah,
of course. She kicks that. She loves
to
take people.
A lot of new people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She loves to pop cave cherries. I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
She does enjoy that.
Pop.
Yep.
So we wanted to get you on this episode because this movie that we're doing was the second half of the Wager episode from way back when I lost handily. Not handily. I lost you by 1 point, didn't
I? Point. Yeah. I mean, the technicality was the pod racer.
Yeah.
And then the mention of droids. It was any reference to the prequels, would that be in The Force Awakens?
Yeah,
and
that
I beat
was right.
you by a very... Oh, Jesus. A very slight technicality.
But you won. The bet was... Who wins gets to pick a game and a movie for us to talk about. And you graciously conceded and gave me the game, which we did do that episode.
Which is near.
I don't know. But this movie that we're going to talk about is one that your wife actually picked and requested, correct?
Yes.
And
yes, it is.
So why don't you tell us what this movie is that we're doing?
All right. This movie is called The Raid 2.
The Raid 2?
Barendal. And it was made in 2014 and directed by Gareth Evans. I'm sorry, I have to make sure not to say Gareth Edwards, who did Godzilla. Not to be confused. This movie was made in Jakarta, Indonesia. And we saw The Raid 1 and then saw The Raid 2. And it's a foreign film, so it's subtitled. I will say it's not the best movie in the world.
Okay, good.
But it is a movie that's worthy of being seen and worthy of love. And I just remember being really blown away by the creative choreography, the action. It was very like Jackie Chan-esque. It's very like timed up and synced with the music. It's very simple. There's not much to it. But it's just, I think, an example of something that's beautifully executed. So
that was my big thing with it, too. Like, I liked it, but I was curious why you had chosen this one. Mm-hmm. Because I watched it and I was like, I've seen better, but it's not bad.
And that's, I haven't seen better in a long time.
I've not seen a better fight
or a better story in this kind of movie.
I feel, but that again, this whole podcast is all personal subjection.
Yeah,
I also felt that I've seen better fight scenes too.
I'd love to hear about what movies you think are better and what fight scenes you think are better.
Okay, well, I mean,
which I don't know if you're leading it up to that.
Not yet. We haven't done the break yet.
Have we?
What break?
Oh, we did the break. We're coming back. We're talking now.
Yeah. We're referencing lovely sound engineer Andrew.
Well, and
we didn't do the bump. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
We can do the bump here.
Oh, that's because I'm ready to get into it. I'm sorry.
I thought we can kind of describe the plot a little bit. Sure. Should we summarize a little bit?
Well, we have a 1 minute breakdown.
What's the bump?
The musical.
Oh, he's got to play the bump?
Not really.
We're not here in real time.
This is all really behind the scenes stuff now.
This is going off the rails.
Where is the bump?
The bump will be.
I want to see the bump.
So coming up now, I guess, spoilers, here it comes. We're just going to break into it so we can continue this discussion. We will play the bump now, which Ryan has selected, and it is
a music piece by The Raid 2.
Okay, that's what. But do you know what section it plays in?
No, I have no idea. Okay. I have not.
But you've picked it out.
Yet, so.
Okay, so here it is, the music selection from The Raid 2. So that was our poorly explained and segued into bump. I like that. Usually, we're pretty smooth with these segues. I don't know, maybe, just a little excited to have your wife on the show.
Yeah.
We're just running off the rails. Who cares?
Yeah. Also, I paid no attention or interest into like the musical piece this week yet. So I don't know. It's going to be something.
That's just sloppy. I'm sure it's great. Part, dog.
Well, I mean, and we can talk about it.
I loved it. What are you talking about? We just listened to it live.
Music,
I loved it.
Yeah.
That was amazing. No.
The music in this movie is not great.
It's nothing to write home about.
No.
Yeah.
But
nothing stuck out to
memorable.
Me.
Like,
and as a big music guy, you know, I always try to hook into something.
Me too.
What I think a viewer needs to do, if you're not sure, just go and look up a YouTube video, Raid 2 fight. Look up Hammer Girl and Bat Boy. Just do it. Just watch a little three-minute video, that'll hook you, I think.
So we're at this point, fuck it, we are off the rails.
We have no more.
We'll just jump around a lot.
Sure.
So, and that's fine.
Sorry.
That's the way this thing was going anyways. There's no stopping it.
Should I explain a little bit?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
what I was liking was the implementation of Bat Boy and Hammer Girl and the Assassin, because that's one thing I did like about this movie is that I really like characters that are like almost sort of cliche, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And those characters definitely were. They had their weapon that they specialize in, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
It gives them a very comic book superhero feel to them almost, and it gives them an air of intimidation.
Yeah.
Because you first meet Hammer Girl on the train, and she just pulls up.
Well, you meet her before that.
Yeah, but like.
You first see what she's capable of.
On the train.
Yeah.
And so she's on this fucking subway, and she just pulls these two claw hammers out of her purse, and you're like, you know, it just sort of, you're like, okay, shit's about to get fucking real here. And then it does. She ends up taking out like 15 guys, and it's a pretty brutal fight. That's another thing I did like about this movie was that it was brutal.
Yeah,
like, makes you
fights
cringe.
Are very
I'm always a big fan of brutality.
And I think
it's not the PG-13 cut before anything bad happens.
No.
And like it's in your head. They'll show you.
I think we've kind of been used to in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, to seeing these kind of cheap action scenes where the cuts are really fast and, you know, punch to the stomach and then, you know, cut to the face, punch to the the face and cut. This, you know, sets the camera back so you see, and these people are incredibly talented. I know that Hammer Girl, I believe, is not really previously trained. I think she's...
she was not, yeah.
She was a model or a famous actress, and they wanted her in the movie, so...
She trained for 6 months for this, which is, again, I know what you're saying. Like, a lot of times, like, especially in bigger budget movies, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm not calling them out, but
when you see Jessica Biel or Kate Beckinsale not fight, even,
like,
they...
A lot of the fight scenes in the comic book movies today, some of, like, Guardians of the Galaxy the Guardians had a lot of bad fight scenes mm-hmm. where the actress and actors, they're not fight trained, so they have to use camera tricks.
Yeah.
It still doesn't feel right.
Whereas these people trained in martial arts
know what to do.
Yeah. And I think also, to me, this movie is very simple. And if you want, I'll just give a little quick summary about what it's about.
Well, if you would like to, we have a segment on the show where we have the minute breakdown.
You're letting it known that you've not seen the latest few episodes.
I am. Okay. I'm not caught up on the videos.
Hey, we're adding new stuff all the time. I don't blame you here. So I think sound engineer Andrew is going to get a time clock going here. Ooh. And so what you're going to do is within a minute, you're mm-hmm. going to try to break down the movie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So
easy.
And we're going whenever you're ready to go.
All right, go. Okay, so this picks up with the actor, Rama, who after the raid one, his brother is assassinated by a big mob boss. And so they put him undercover and they say, look, you're going to go in and you're going to like use all this subterfuge to kill this mob boss. And you have to befriend this other guy named Uko, who's the son of another mob boss, and get yourself like really in. So he assumes the name Yuta and kind of becomes their bodyguard. And he just kind of works himself up through the ranks, himself. And, you know, just kicking this person's ass and kicking this person's ass and trying not to get caught. And the movie basically ends with Uko shoots his own father and betrays him. And they go up to the big boss, Beho. And it's just like, you know, he just fights his way to the boss. So it's very simple. And along the way, he sees other people who are like also undercover people, cops and stuff. It's kind of neat, but it's simple, but it's...
1 minute.
It's good.
Hey, not bad.
You're much more graceful under that pressure than I've ever been.
It's hilarious. You should listen to some of the recent ones.
I will check it out.
Do you want to take a shot?
I freak out.
Do you want to shot at this one or you want me to do this one?
No, you go ahead.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll take a shot. Go. The Raid 2, at its core, is a kung fu action flick with a hint of crime, drama, and intrigue. Takes place in Indonesia, where a former rookie policeman has just been tapped to go undercover in the Indonesian mob, and through the use of his careful planning and obvious extreme badassness kung fu skills, will topple the entire empire by himself to save his family. It's not very original, but what it works with within those tropes, it does very well.
Mm-hmm.
Time.
Awesome.
Ah!
That was very like movie opener voice guy.
I'm pretty good at
guy. That's awesome.
You are very good at
I like these.
I would not have come up with this game if I knew how good you were.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it just ends up being in your favor.
Very good.
And it's not even a competition usually with me.
And you mentioned tropes, and it does have a lot of tropes.
But it does.
One of the things that...
But tropes aren't bad.
No, and one of the things I think that this does well, like, upon repeat viewings, is it does a really good job of showing, not telling. And, like, when you do meet Hammer Girl and Batboy for the first time, they're at the bar, and they're using sign language, and you can see that they have this bond.
Yeah.
But they're kind of just secondary people that are over here talking to each other with sign language. And this other, you know, they kind of have these little quirks, and each character... Even though you don't get a whole fleshed out backstory as to who they are, why they're here, what they're doing, you just get a lot of nice little small touches that just kind of let you know a little insight into the character. And I thought some of the bad guys were interesting and good, and I wanted to learn more about them. But
Precoso, the old man who's like the
assassin.
Loyal servant.
That's what I loved him. The homeless hitman was badass.
He is great. And he was in the first raid too, but he has like no character really in the first raid. He's just a fighter. And they give him something to do in this one, and like he is secondary, he's minor, he doesn't really factor into the plot.
But
at
you
all.
See how much
but
he matters
he's such
to the
a
family.
Neat character,
and
it just
he's
shows
like
you
an old
the betrayal.
Yeah.
But it's just a small little.
I think this movie does do a lot of things great. Mm-hmm. It is very good at the show not tell, One of my problems with it is, though, that there's sometimes where it doesn't tell enough. And I think it's maybe because of the language barrier. It is a subtitled film. There were some times where watching, I didn't know what was going on still. I'm like, okay, who are these people? Why is this happening now? I could have used with a little bit more of that. But on the other hand, my other complaint with this movie is it's a bit too long. This movie is 2.5 hours long.
I disagree.
You do?
It is. Because it is two and a half hours. It's like 2 hours and 20-something minutes.
Yeah, 2:27.
Yeah. So. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly because it's a long movie, yes. But
there are like 5 or 6 good meaty fight scenes.
And
that works.
At least. The pacing, I think, is very good.
That I will give you that.
There's no slump. Like, it's a long movie, but there's not like, well, that second act sure is slow because it's literally, there's 10 to 15 minutes of build-up, and then you get like a 5 minute badass fight scene, and each fight scene is even better and more meaningful than the one that came before, and it keeps topping itself. So even though it's 2.5 hours, like, you feel yourself propelled through this movie because of these amazing fight scenes.
Yeah,
and that's where my disagreement. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the whole movie it's for the fight scenes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so therefore, all the time in between, again, it's full of tropes. If it had done different new things that made me excited, I could have got more behind.
Maybe
a longer time scene. But like, again, it I knew what was happening.
Seen more of these types of movies minutes than in, I have. I mean, I've seen the Jackie Chan and a lot of I think I've seen a variety, but probably
this one comes closest to The Departed or Internal Affairs.
I will agree
very similar in plot, but I think
it is very well done, especially for an... Yeah. I would never expect this from an Indonesian movie.
What would this guy do given a budget and a team of writers and stuff? I mean, this is only like his second full-length movie. I think he's done a few short films. And so to me, I'm just like, oh man, you know, he needs to get like notice. And here's somebody that might be like up and coming. But what's so cool, so these fellas, some of them were in Star Wars. And I saw that they got cast in the new Force Awakens. And my friend John Parrish on Facebook, he wrote, he's like, man, did you see Star Wars? And those guys showed up and I thought a thing was gonna happen and then a thing didn't happen. What? And I was like, because I was just waiting for them to beat some ass. Like, I was like, oh, this is gonna be so good. And then they just had like a little cameo because I guess they had kind of been tapped for that part and recognized and given a little bit of a gold star to appear in Star Wars. But I was just like, oh, this is gonna happen.
Then they were part of the Conja Club.
Yes,
the Conja Club.
Mm-hmm.
That hijacks Harrison.
But other people noticed it. Yeah, and I thought that, you know, it'd be, these people put in a lot of work, and I think, you know, we're just obsessed with Hollywood, big actors and everything. It's just nice to see something that's a little bit smaller.
It was cool to see him in there. And I, you know, like, when we saw Star Wars together, you were all super stoked about that. And at that point, I hadn't seen the raid, so it didn't have the weight to me. Mm-hmm. But I saw that you were very excited about it.
I know,
so that was
and
cool.
Then they just got it.
She was immediately disappointed because it didn't do anything.
Even going back and seeing the raid, I get what, like, it's a cool cameo. Mm-hmm. I don't. They could. There's no way they could have had them do kung fu because
they might not have fit in that universe.
Doing my research for this, the amount of training they did for just the raid, it would have taken such an involved thing, and it was a nice cameo. Yeah. Kung Fu would have been nice, but it would have been way overblown. But.
Well, you said you thought that they didn't really do anything original, but I thought the prison fight and the whole mud and all that, like one of the big opening scenes, was really original to me. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything. Sorry, go ahead, please.
No, I'm just trying to get back to the story.
Go ahead.
Because I'm so... And you're fine. I'm just very interested. What movie do you think that is like this that has a better story? Because I cannot think of a single kung fu movie that has like a more interesting story. I think this is the Godfather 2 of kung fu movies.
Wow, that's pretty heavy.
Like, I really don't think there's one that's more solid.
For me, my favorite kung fu movie in terms of story and fight, and I think it has the best fights, is Legend of the Drunken Master with Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
that movie is so fucking top notch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, it is Jackie Chan, but I just think that's the perfect kung fu movie to me. It has different styles of fights, and there's a lot of storytelling told through the fight scenes. But then you've also got Jackie Chan being Jackie Chan, who can also deliver a great performance, and he's fun, and can also be serious and hard. And I like that a lot, but it's hard to compare kung fu.
But it's very different. It feels like that movie is the Avengers to the Raid 2's The Dark Knight. Like, they're very different movies. Like, one's more pulpy, one's more fun.
I have another one, too, though, that I really like fight scene-wise and story-wise. The story is a little hokey, but I really am a fan of the movie Unleashed with Jet Li.
Me, too. That's, like, one of the few Jet Li movies that I really like.
That's where he plays the attack dog guy.
Oh, yeah, with
Bob Hoskins and Morgan Freeman.
Where he's the London mob hit guy. And that, again, I think has great story and fantastic fight choreography, but that's because it's done by the guy who does The Matrix.
Agreed, but I don't think a single fight scene in that movie compares to The Raid. Just how technically it's shot. Like, these are... The cool thing about The Raid,
they are very memorable in The Raid compared to
Old Boy hallway scenes.
Well, and there's a big Old Boy influence in this entire movie.
And like, almost every fight scene has a long tracking shot where it just follows a character fighting multiple people for minutes.
I think Gareth Evans, has said in interviews that he's a big fan of Jackie Chan.
He does say that, and Old Boy.
But I almost am wondering.
I think he points to Legend of the Drunken Master specifically,
which, like, using a lot of like things from the environment to pull into the fight and things like that, like Jackie Chan does. But I also I'm wondering if this is kung fu what they're doing, because I thought it was almost like more like Krav Maga or something.
It's an Indonesian martial art.
It's like, but it's like, you know, it's much faster and like, aggressive. Yeah. More than the finesse and like grace. There's that too, but it's much more like brutal.
And that's another thing. I like the fight scenes. That's my big thing with the Unleashed movie.
Bone crunching, you know, really.
When I think it's Wu Ping.
Yun Wu Ping.
Is the choreographer. When he did Unleashed, like, he specifically crafted a fight style for Jet Li that was... Because he's not trained. He's just brutal and efficient. So there's no finesse to it. And there was a lot of that in this. I like that it wasn't fanciness. It's getting a job done, which is what he's there to do as this undercover cop, especially towards the end.
When he fights a group of people, it's much more aggressive. But then when he's one-on-one with the guy in the kitchen and they have that, like, profound mutual respect, and it's very, like... Like, you know, reminiscent of the older kung fu movies where it's like...
Well, they do that, too.
Sort of.
You're talking about The Raid right now.
Yeah, The Raid, too, when they do that. So, like, when he's in a group of people and he's running and he's just, like, throwing and hitting and, you know, putting the guy in the kitchen and putting his head on the oven and breaking chairs and all this and getting out of the car. Like, there's various fight scenes where he's just pummeled with a group of people. Or at the opening one when he's in the bathroom stall, like, fighting his way through crowds. It's like, oh, my God. But, like, then when he's in a dignified fight with, like, a fellow, you know, high-level... you know, master or whatever, like they have that kind of eye to eye respect for each other. That's really neat too.
Bringing up that opening bathroom fight, one of my notes, I love, there's a whole nutshot combo in there that I fucking love. And I rewind it like three times because he like hits this dude in the fucking balls like five or six times. It's like, man, that's awesome. Because again, there's no atheists in foxholes, no rules in a fight. Like,
why don't people get hit in the nuts more?
Yeah,
like,
they fucking should.
It's a bullseye, you know, hit it right in the middle there.
What is your guys' favorite fight scene in the movie? There's a lot. I have my own favorite.
Yeah. You go ahead.
I think I really like the hallway fight with Batboy and Hammer Girl, but it was over a little quick.
The red hallway with
But I think my favorite has to be the prison yard with all the mud and then the aerial shot and the sirens that are just like wah, and it just like it was just a really cool scene. You just like, it hits the gas pedal.
I think that one is probably the most famous from this movie. Yeah. That's the one that gets referenced a lot. And it's pretty good.
And that
it's
mud
not my
and
favorite.
Stuff is really neat.
Been researching this one. That came up a lot. Was that prison fight scene?
It was such a large group of people, and that one on repeat watches. You see a lot of stuff going on in the background. It's kind of neat.
It's
also got
the only white dude in the movie who has a nice beard.
Oh, I didn't notice that one.
He gets his leg totally fucked.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the big like biker looking dude. Yeah. I think
That's cool. Coming back also, I really like the Bat Boy and Hammer Girl fight in the hallway.
Is that your favorite?
It's not my favorite, but I just like the ending when he fucking hits Bat Boy in the face and you see it.
The bat stick.
Oh my God, like, that's awesome.
The bat sticks and then he slides and then lands on the bat. Yeah. It's a very Tarantino,
it was really
morbid
cool.
But
joke.
You see also it's so kind of heartbreaking, that fight, because you see that Bat Boy and Hammer Girl have that friendship and then at one point he goes after... Hammer Girl, and Bat Boy's just like, no, you know.
He starts to go real crazy.
Yeah, so it's just kind of a nice little touch that you really don't have to add, but they did, and I appreciate that. I think it's nice. It gives a little bit more depth to things.
It's sad because friendship.
Friendship.
Sad because friendship. So what about you?
I think the most flashy and interesting fight is, like, anything with Hammer Girl. I really do like that hallway scene, but I think after seeing it a few times, I think my favorite fight scene is the one with Precoso at the club.
The old guy.
That ends with him getting stabbed and betrayed outside.
Okay.
Because that man kicks so many people and gets thrown off of, like, a second or third floor so many times in that fight. And it's just this old badass man taking down 40 people.
He's just cornered, yeah.
And then it just ends very sad and poetically and just, like, spoilers, like, he dies. Precoso is betrayed and stabbed, and he falls into the snowy ground, and then his blood fills up the puddle slowly around him. It's just very sad and poignant, and but, again, like, a great fight.
Jumping around just a bit, and it was a good fight, and I'm glad just that none of us have the same favorite fight, and I'll get into mine in a second.
I think that speaks to the quality of this movie, that we all have different fights. And
the old guy, he dies because he's betrayed by the son of the mob boss, who was trying to start a war with the Japanese. And so he has him killed as a frame job, sort of, because that guy's been a loyal family friend to and assassin for them. And I really liked him because he's brutal, too. He has another fight scene earlier on
where he hunts down a group with a machete.
And
only uses the machete at the very end.
Yeah, it
and
was really cool. I kept watching that and I was like, is he going to use it?
It's a good misdirect because you expect that machete to come out right away and he's swinging around.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Saved. Yeah.
But no, easily, I think my favorite fight scene in the movie is the car chase fight combo thing.
It's also very good.
That's probably my second because
it's so the car chase to where it ends up in the garage. Or is that... No. That's giving
how
ahead,
he gets...
It?
Yeah, because that's his whole second piece. Because they take that other dude and drop him off. At, okay.
I think the car chase is just amazing.
Yeah, it's a great scene anyways. And then there's also a fight happening in. And there's a lot of cool camera cuts. There's like this whole shot from above where you're seeing in from the top. And
probably very difficult to film, too.
It was really, really... fucking cool.
And again, it's just even crazier when you consider, like, it's one take too for a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that are
the
long
camera
shots.
Moves in and out of, like, the car almost in a way that is physically impossible.
Yeah,
like,
and
there's some trickery going on that's pretty
good. What I like about it too is, again, we talked about the Jackie Chan influence where he's using everything in the car to help him fight, because it's him and four dudes in this car.
He's sandwiched in their seat belts because he can't even get a full swing. He's like, they're packed in there like sardines.
At one point, like, he grabs the wheel and jerks it to knock another dude out, and it's just really fucking well done.
Yeah.
And they're all thrown around. It's a great car fight scene.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you watched this movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's to me, like I said, I don't think it's, like, you know, the best movie ever or anything like that. But
which I'm glad to hear.
I would put asterisks there, and I would say it's the best kung fu movie ever.
I disagree wholeheartedly, but it's a pretty good one.
I think
if
it's
you want serious kung fu,
probably
I think
one of the best that's been made in the last 10, 15 years,
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think Ong Bak is
better. This is better than that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Especially Ong Bak 1.
Yeah.
I like the
It's got
one.
Some good Ong ones.
Ong Bak 1, they had... It was
and
weird,
similar fight
tricks.
Style, I think, because isn't that one Thai? I'm sorry.
It's Thai,
very
yeah.
similar, yeah.
It's they do a thing in Ong Bak that I hate, which is he'll do a stunt or a trick, and then they slow-mo showed that trick over four times in a
yeah.
row.
I get that.
It's very amateurish, and I don't... Yeah.
I also liked the Jet Li China flick. Is it Fearless? I wanted to say Limitless, but that's the Bradley
Fearless,
Cooper.
Fearless, yeah. It's Fearless.
Fearless is another fucking... And again,
where they have
Jet
like
Li.
The long poles
with
the spikes on the end.
But to me, it's like with Jet Li or Jackie Chan, like, you have the star, but this movie is chock full of very talented people. All of
are
them
do
are
good
like,
things, I
like
think.
Really
it makes me,
skilled.
I want to see The Raid now. And
yeah.
You'll
and
like it.
And it's good.
And actually, you might even like it better than this one because there's a lot less story. It's just mostly like... It's we said this to you before the podcast. It is the same plot as Dread, the recent remake.
Yeah.
Where it's
completely
two people,
independent.
Or like a squad of cops go into a slum building and they have to get the mob boss out of there.
And he's at
and
the
then
top.
They get trapped and then they have to get out and fight through hundreds of people. It's the same thing.
But I guess there was no copying really on either part because Dread was South Africa and this one was going on meanwhile in Indonesia. So
and they shot at the same time.
But it is weird. It is very much and it's definitely better than Dread, I think. The Raid 1.
What? than the Dread remake?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
The fights are so much better. But this is it's different. It's the same concept, but it's this Rama guy that just beats ass all the way to the top.
I gotta see it then, because, man.
Long shots, long hallway fights.
Dread was so perfect.
Dread's, like, no, Dread's far from a perfect movie.
I'm not saying perfect movie, but perfect encapsulation of Dread. I thought.
As a character, maybe, yeah, but I think all the ancillary characters were kind of stupid.
Yeah, who cares about them?
I mean, if you want a good, complete story, I do.
I want to see Dread kick ass, and that's what I see in that movie, is Dread kick ass.
That movie would not be even highly regarded if it weren't for the slow motion scenes.
See, I don't even care. I love that. Yeah. I love that Dread never takes his fucking mask off. Fuck you, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that.
That's the way it should be for a star. Like,
it's like Spider-Man. Spider-Man, like, needs to keep his mask on. Like, yeah, these movies where everybody and their mother knows who Spider-Man is, just stop it.
That was the one thing I liked recently about Deadpool. I was like, man, Ryan Reynolds is like a big face and a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
They're going to make him have the mask off all the time. No, they didn't at all.
No, like, and then when he did, he was uglied up,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was so great. But for the most part, he had the mask on. I love that. So that was great.
Mm-hmm.
I only wrote down one quote from this movie, and it's one that I feel I'm going to save and use myself a lot. At one point, one of the characters tells the other to suck it up. Don't fuck it up. Because he's whining and kind of feeling, he's like, just suck it up. Don't fuck it up. I love that. That rolls so well.
That's so fun.
But it has a good cadence, too.
Yeah. I think I just really like the end, though, too. Like, the last line, because after Rama, or his codename Yuta, he kills the mob boss. He just wipes everybody out, and he's just stumbling out of that building after all he's been through. And then at the bottom, there's, like, the Japanese mob guys, and they're like, hey, man, do you want to join us? And he's like, I'm finished now.
Well, he doesn't say
anything. I'm done. No, he does say.
He says that. He says, no,
he says, I'm done.
No, I'm done.
Does he?
And it just, then the movie just ends. And it's just like, I thought that was pretty sweet.
What I liked is that, up until that point, you don't hear anything being
said.
Yeah,
that's like, what it is. I was like,
the Japanese guy is talking, but you don't hear it, and there's
no
subtitles.
But you know what he's asking
him. I didn't know. I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought they're going to fucking kill him or something like
that.
This
movie's going on for another 20 minutes.
Well, we want him, you know?
I thought that they're like, he was going to do all this, and then he's going to walk out, and they're going to be like, oh, so you did all that, huh? Well, boom, and like fucking take him out. Yeah. But I like that they're like, hey, we could really use you, or you imply. You don't really know what's being said.
But I think that is what is being said.
Does say, no, I'm done.
I'm not for hire. Bye. Yeah. And that's it. And that's just the end. It's very simple, but I appreciate the simplicity of this movie. I appreciate what it showcases and what it does. And like I said, it's not, I'm not sure if I made a top 10 list. I couldn't spin you guys one right now. I'm not sure it would be on my top 10 ever all-time best movies, but for sure I think it would be my favorite like just beat 'em up fight movie, and I'm just excited to see where these people go. So I just like to be like their fangirl and give them exposure.
You're,
so
you're like the hipster kung fu chick that's like, I was into those Raid guys before they
I know
did all
I
those,
want to but they're
before
so
they
good.
Did the Matrix 9 like,
I know they're gonna you're gonna see them. I think
I think
some of
so.
These people are going to do
point,
good things. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a cool movie.
Definitely, especially they could get, if they learn some English, they can definitely get some international appeal.
Can I share some insight into this nerdy hipster kung fu girl?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The first time we saw The Raid, I rented on Blu-ray. I don't think you knew what it was. And this is the first movie. I knew about it because, like, I think there were, like, a bunch of trailers saying, like, one of the most bloody, violent movies of the year.
One of those. I've heard rumblings about it for
and
a
so
long
I was
time.
Like, this is going to be amazing. Like, I want to see this, like, hardcore fight movie. So I just pretty much told Laura that, like, I hear it's great fighting. And it opens up on Yuko's face. And in the first one, it's shot in really high def. And I don't think they had their makeup quite down. So he, like, had a ton of pimples and stuff. Like, you could see really
rough.
Clear. And Laura's like, yeah, I don't want to watch this. And, like, I had to convince her to push past this guy's pimples to give him a chance. And now she's, like, number one fan.
I don't remember that at all.
I remember this because I was like God
rough.
Damn it. Like, I'm not going to get to watch this movie because of pimples. Because of high def pimples.
I don't remember
pimples.
That at all.
I did you know, this is one of those movies, like, a lot of nerds, I've heard about it for a long time. It's had rumblings on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. I have seen, before we'd even talked about it, I'd seen the Hammer Girl fight on the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it is a famous scene. It's referenced and linked a lot. Yeah. So, but I never watched it. But I'm glad you did recommend it. I did enjoy it.
Good.
My question, I don't know if I'll watch it again. I would like to watch just a super cut of all the fights.
Yeah.
If that's available.
Which most of them I think are on YouTube.
Because that's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are really great fight scenes, and they do appreciate the Jackie Chan, the style of show the fight, like let mm-hmm. it breathe, show yeah. everything. So a lot of the fight scenes are really pulled back and you're seeing a lot of action. It's not up close quick cuts.
Well, and what's the YouTube show that you watch, the Every Frame of Painting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really love that because they did a whole Jackie Chan piece, and Jackie Chan talked about his American movies. And he's like, when you cut away, you lose the momentum, you lose the cadence, and like just the rhythm of the fight. And I think that's another thing I really loved about this and other movies, like the Jackie Chan ones. Like, the music is unremarkable, but it's so cool because the kicks and the punches and the movements are almost like timed with the heavy, like, you know, beats of the music they're playing. And it just seems so, yeah. so rich. You know, there's so many layers and it's just really
it's syncopated. Like,
yeah.
the beats hit when they need to with the rhythm.
And it's just that makes it like that much more satisfying when you're watching it. And so I'm like, you know, that's just like, it's just a finer touch, I think. And it is like the old Jackie Chan ones, I think, but people just aren't doing that lately in movies. So I think it was really cool. I appreciated mm-hmm. it.
I would also, you know, it is incredibly brutal, mm-hmm. which is great. Mm-hmm. You don't get that a lot. There's a lot of intense things that happen to people in this movie.
Oh, yeah. So I like violence.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I'm a big fan of violence all around. So I recommend it for that, too. I think people should watch it, especially mm-hmm. if you are a fan of Kung Fu.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, but I came to this one late. I would imagine most people who are fans have seen it. But
yeah.
I do recommend The Raid 2, and you can totally watch The Raid 2 without ever having seen The Raid.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted to see if that held up for you.
I totally, again, because I'm saying this not in a bit, it's not original. It's very tropesy, but mm-hmm. you get the idea. You know mm-hmm. what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an undercover cop.
Yeah.
And he's good at kung fu.
Yeah.
But that's your fucking plot. I mean, I could have done a 1-minute plot mm-hmm. with that. So, but yeah, I recommend it.
Glad you watched it. Thanks.
I got some final thoughts. Do you guys got final thoughts?
Before we do the final thoughts,
yeah, go ahead.
I want to put this out here. That's really neat that I just found out today that I didn't realize. But all the main people that Rama fights in this movie, they have like a personalized weapon, and each person dies by their own weapon. Yeah.
That is a really cool thing, too.
And then Beho, like the crime boss who controls all of them, shoots his brother with his shotgun earlier on, and then he dies by the shotgun later, too. Mm-hmm. Oh. So everybody dies by their own hand.
Well, and another nice thing that I picked up reading, mm-hmm. The main boss, the main bad guy, villain of this movie is half Arab, half Indonesian.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, the guy with the sunglasses mm-hmm. with the Beho. Cane. Mm-hmm. But he, before somebody is killed with a shotgun, he shows a sign of weakness. At the beginning, he sort of gets worked up and he coughs a little bit. And at the dinner scene at the end, he sort of drops his cane and has to sort of reach for it. Mm-hmm. And again, so that was a cool little thing.
There's a lot of little things like that. It's good. I never picked up on that
one. I did like Beho a lot.
Yeah.
For a villain. He's very slick.
Mm-hmm.
He was really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, final thoughts, anybody?
There's some cool things. Well, I think I've said as much as I can about the things that I really enjoy. And I mean, I've watched it a couple times. Like I said, I think repeat viewings are cool, especially a lot of the fight scenes, like if you just had all that. But it does, it's worth seeing. I think it's a good one. So
yeah,
you agree?
Yeah, I mean, final thoughts, I think you're being a little hard on the story.
I might be.
I agree, it's tropesy, but the way it handles everything, it's very suspenseful. It keeps you invested. And that's more that can be said for most kung fu movies. I love the characters in the film. I think they're some of the best in kung fu movies. Aside from, like you said, Jackie Chan does have his roles that are very memorable. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I don't think there are too many. You listed some good ones, though. But I would wholeheartedly recommend The Raid 2. I love it. I think it's. I don't think there are better action scenes being made today. Just
so far,
that's it. Like, I don't think anybody else is doing action better than Gareth Evans. So I think he's somebody to look out for.
But
John Wick was really good.
John Wick's very good.
Yeah, I think this is better than that. Yeah.
Yeah, I do think it's better than John Wick. But I love John Wick too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wholeheartedly recommend. If you are one of the people who can't watch movies with subtitles, then
I don't know what you're fucking.
Yeah,
is,
I
really
don't know what to tell you.
They have
you're
dubbed
not gonna
versions,
like it.
You know.
Don't
sure,
ever watch dub. Sub not no. dub.
I would say I would say watch the fights on YouTube. But really, like this guy, his movies aren't very well known. Like, support him, watch him.
And what's crazy
that
he's a white dude, and he's got a very white. Like, when I after the end, and I saw the I was like, wait, Who's this guy that made all that? He wrote, directed, and
yeah, he's something. I think he might be an expat or something. Yeah, and the way he talks, like, is it's Welsh or Afrikaans or something. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But he does very good. I look forward to seeing what else he can do. He's he's definitely getting that internet buzz, I think.
Yeah,
this
movie's got
definitely an internet child.
And I feel like, didn't this movie appear on like Quentin Tarantino's top 10 list for the year? Or somebody famous that puts out a, you know, top movies of the year. And this one, it was kind of like,
Tarantino's taste is not to be trusted, because in one of the years, the Green Lantern was in his top 10.
Really?
He likes to just
And then he said Drive was a nice try, not good.
Oh, man, fuck Tarantino.
Right?
No. Anyways,
sound engineer Andy appreciates that one.
I like that you bring up Tarantino, because I want to approach this to you, because I would like to recommend a movie to you two if you haven't seen it. It's another sort of Asian-y kung fu flick. Tarantino is in it, and he produced it.
Man with the Iron Fist?
It's not that one. That one stars the RZA.
Sukiyaki Western Django?
That one. Have you seen it?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen it, right?
You've seen it too?
I think it's good.
Great. Exactly. That was what I remember of it. I would like to watch it again,
Takeshi Miike?
I think so. But
that one kind of reminds you of like Kung Fu Hustle, sort of? Or like,
it's not so, so funny, though.
It's more serious.
It's a lot more serious.
But it's still kind of goofy,
right? Shot
pulpy.
Like, it's weird.
It's very pulpy. What I liked about it, though, is that I'm a huge Western guy. Mm-hmm. But it's also got that Kung Fu stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I would like to watch that again with you guys. I think I'd like to make sort of a Kung Fu thing a regular thing.
Oh, I think it's great. Yeah. And I'd love for people to put in suggestions and argue with us.
We always say that.
You're thinking of the good, the bad, and the weird.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is.
The one
who's
done by the guy who did the host in Snowpiercer. Bong Joon-ho, I think.
That one was kind of weird, I think, I remember.
Yeah, I figured you had seen it, but I saw it a long time ago. I'd like to watch it again.
I saw it when it came out,
and I
remember being very disappointed.
Okay, yeah, disappointed.
Like,
almost.
I was like, it's fine, but I'm a little bit disappointed considering the talent, because Takeshi Miike did Audition and Ichi the Killer, and I was expecting
remember stylistically, I love the way it looked, though.
Yeah.
But anyways.
It didn't feel like it had inertia. It just kind of moved.
So maybe we won't do that one, but this...
I'd love to go back and watch some of the old Kung Fu movies.
I totally want to do Drunken Master. I think
some of the Bruce Lee stuff, I don't think I've really delved into that very much, than videos.
But yeah, Seven Samurai is another great one. Although I don't really classify that so much as Kung Fu.
It's more serious. It's one of those Criterion movies.
It's a great movie.
It's not a grindhouse, good Kung Fu action beat 'em up. It's more...
I mean, we'd flirted with the idea of Shaolin Soccer and Kung Fu Hustle as well. Both of those are great. I enjoy those.
Yeah, and I like, when we first met, I remember, I like grudgingly admitted this story, and I was like, oh man, I'm going to get slapped down. I'm like, I really love Kung Fu Hustle. And he's like, me too.
Yeah,
and I was like,
it's so funny. It's so weird.
It's so creative.
The advertisements, it was pitched as Kill Bill meets Looney Tunes. And I was like, I'm on board. Yeah. And then it was that movie. So
it was true to that.
But that guy's older stuff too, before he started doing a lot of the special effects, is just hilarious and weird. Dada-esque. It's just funny.
Or Stephen Chow.
Yeah.
Either way.
I don't know how you pronounce it.
He's got a wit about him. It's just funny.
Search for Stephen Chow on Netflix, and there are like four or five old 90s
movies.
You can't go wrong. Just pick one of
those
and watch it and
laugh.
They're
fun. Again, it's
casual sexism and racism and
what
whatever.
What was the one we saw with the...
But that's just Japan. It's okay.
The actress, the girl... What was the one we most recently saw? It was pretty funny. Never mind. Okay, we'll talk about it later.
He had that other one too, his most recent one that I remember with...
Journey to the East.
Well, no, I think it's before that one, but after Kung Fu Hustle.
CJ7?
What's the one with like the masters of the old town, and there's like the dude with the rings on his arms, and they fight the people. There's all these people that are trying to come take out the city. He eventually learns like the Palm of Buddha.
That's Kung Fu Fury.
Kung Fu Fury, yeah.
Or No. That's Kung Fu Hustle, I mean.
Yeah,
that's
Kung
Fu
Hustle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
familiar
I was just
to me,
getting them a little mixed up. But yeah, Kung Fu Hustle is great. So.
Yeah, what is Kung Fu Fury even? Did I make that movie up?
Kung Fury is a movie which is also really awesome.
Oh, that's like the 37-minute movie on Netflix.
Well, it was on YouTube.
Oh, wasn't it Kickstarted or something? Like, I think it was a funded project. I never saw it.
You haven't seen that?
I saw a trailer and it looked like Sharknado, which is like, we're going for irony.
No, but But like Sharknado is awful.
And they just missed.
It's awful, not because it's like, oh my gosh, I could go on about Sharknado. I'm like, you people don't understand. They're like, look, irony, get it?
No, see, it's not like that.
Okay, I got that vibe.
You should really watch Kung Fury because, yeah, Sharknado
I'm like, yes,
is like,
yes, I get it. Beat me about the head with it.
It's
yes.
one of those like, oh, here's a B movie thing, but Kung Fury is more like it's way more a love letter to super over the top 80s action flicks. Like you will really like it. I really feel so. I would really like you to watch it.
Okay,
and we should do maybe a mini episode on it because it's fucking great, man.
I'll be down for that. Especially 37 minutes. That's an easy commitment,
dude. You can watch it at work or whatever. Don't watch movies at work, people.
You know what's my favorite B movie?
What,
a B movie starring Jerry Seinfeld? That guy is hilarious as a B.
Oh man.
Bzz, bzz, bzz. Am I right?
God. So I'm gonna interject here.
What's with all the honey?
Throw my fucking final thoughts on this so we can end this bastardization. God. What?
So all the other bees want to pollinate.
My final thoughts are.
I don't know how to pollinate.
I have four. That's really good Jerry Seinfeld, by the way. That's your best impression I've heard from you.
I told you, like,
you.
That's what we do on this podcast.
I will.
We do segues and impersonations very well.
I'm not even going to do my final thoughts now. We're going to end on your Jerry Seinfeld. That's really funny.
Oh, we didn't get to hear your final thoughts.
No, I don't.
Sorry.
I'm not being an ass. I can't top your Jerry Seinfeld now. That's really good.
Do you want to, like, exit the show and
do
Jerry?
Do me one more as Jerry.
Do an Andre one.
An Andre one?
Oh. Oh, no, go ahead. Or do whatever.
What's the deal with Andre?
I hear it's... No, I lost it.
Ah, you Jerry fucked Seinfeld. It all up.
Here it's wine. It's the bees. No, I lost it. I got it now. You put too much pressure on it. But anyway, I was going to say the wine was the bees' knees, but because of a bee
movie,
Jerry Seinfeld.
It'll come back to you. It's okay.
Oh, man. That was good. I love that you've now lost it.
I lost it.
That makes it the best.
That's all my impersonations.
Hillbilly Seinfeld.
I'm like, hey, I had this really good one, and it's gone forever.
I don't have any. Like, I did all those Star Wars ones, and that was pretty much it.
I can only do Venture Brothers, and, like, nobody knows about Venture Brothers, so
people should know about
Venture
Brothers.
Yeah, they should.
I'm not going to do mine. I got nothing else to say. Aww. That's pretty much it. Do you want me to fucking say
it? Would you recommend it? What are your final thoughts? Yeah.
My final thoughts. Should you see it? Yeah, if you like Kung Fu. Okay.
Worth it.
Yeah. I have four. It was pretty good. Nice fight scenes. My two complaints are it's a little long. And it's a little confusing. Even though it's tropesy, there are times where it doesn't explain very well what's happening and why I should care about this
character.
I do think,
I'll give you that, and maybe I caught more on the second viewing. Because I remember, what's his name? Precoso. I was kind of like, wait, is he... I thought he was a bad guy. Oh, I see. Will. You know, and you kind of start thinking about it, too, and piecing it together.
I'm going to throw you under the bus, Laura.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, but you got to say what we were doing that day,
did a double feature. When this came out in theaters and we saw Moonrise Kingdom. What's the most recent Wes Anderson movie?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
We saw Grand Budapest Hotel.
Sure, it seems good, yeah.
I think that's so much better than this.
I disagree. Ooh. And I would say Grand Budapest Hotel is one of Wes Anderson's weakest.
Oh, man, I think it's the second best after Moonrise.
I think it's his best technically, but... Sound engineer Andy disagrees.
He hates me so much because I think Moonrise is the best. But that's me.
I'm with you. I love Moonrise
Kingdom.
Moonrise
is the best. It's my favorite.
But this one... Okay. Anyway, we did a double feature with Grand Budapest Hotel and then The Raid 2. And Laura fell asleep in the middle of The Raid 2.
We smuggled some beers in, though. I was kind of drunk, so...
That's good to stand
high five on that one.
I was going to leave that out.
Ah, fuck it.
So he was not going to... fully threw me under the bus, but I'll just lay it out there. So it was a point where
we've all been there.
They were there. I love the fights, and I was just like, yeah.
And
then there was some politicking,
and then I'm
an easy sleep, anyways. Awesome. And then I woke back up. So then I watched it again because I was like, maybe I just really like that because I was kind of drunk. Like, so then I watched it again. I was like, no, it's good. I like it, you know.
Awesome.
But I wasn't sure because it was kind of a long day, and I had the beer nap like a little bit.
That's great. I fucking love that.
But it was good. I watched it.
I've only double featured once. You guys seem to have done it.
We do it a lot. Oh, man. We've done like...
I'd love to do it a lot more. I'm into that.
There's too many movies.
Did we do all of the like... What did we do? Didn't we do like triple feature up for one or something?
No. We've not done a triple feature.
I'm worried to double feature again because the first time I double featured, I feel was pretty much knocked out of the park. Couldn't get better because I saw Shaun of the Dead.
That's a good one.
Immediately followed by I Heart Huckabees.
Oh, that's awesome.
We talked about this.
Yeah. Wow. Good, like, man, that was such a great fucking day of watching movies. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But if you leave the theater for a snack, they won't let you keep your Coke.
I did Ex Machina and It Follows last year. Ooh. That was a pretty good one.
Damn, that is a really good
one. But the third
one,
because I did three in a row, was Age of Adeline that I had to write about for the paper. And that was a kind of a wet fart.
For the paper or for the website?
Or for the website. Yeah. The paper. I work at the paper. I'm sorry.
So, I don't know. I got nothing else to say other than, you know, Laura, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I really would like to have you as a third regular for like a kung fu section.
Yeah,
I think that would be great. You definitely appreciate the genre.
I think so. I'm no expert. I'm no master.
We're not fucking experts. But it's douches rambling.
It's an art form.
That's the
two douches rambling.
That was our original name. Yeah,
for the podcast.
We changed it.
Two douches rambling.
Because, I mean, the logo was just going to be two like, cartoon douches.
Holding hands, like in Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
As they're going off the cliff, they're just holding hands. Two douches holding hands going off the cliff. That was our logo.
Let's start Changed two douches rambling, minute. But I'll be Ryan. You can be Kyle.
Keep it up.
It'll be great.
I like this.
But no, thank you, Lori. It was great having you.
No.
You are the third guest, but I think you'll be pretty frequent.
Cool. Yeah, I follow along. I'm a few episodes behind. I haven't watched the video once.
I think
once.
So is everybody. So
I listen
okay.
to the car in the car, so.
Which is where I do my podcasting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to just be available for everybody everywhere.
I enjoy it.
And in those notes, you know, because we are available for everybody everywhere, would you like to do that beautiful thing you do, Ryan?
I
let
do.
Let people know where
you
we can
do
be
it
found.
On Jerry Side.
Please follow us. At facebook.com/experiencegrind. It's really great what we're doing over there.
Until you did that experience grind, you were so much more Kermit the Frog than you were Jerry Seinfeld.
Someday we'll find them. A rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Is that Kermit?
You just watched Pee-wee this week too.
Ha! Oh god.
That's Pee-wee.
The new Pee-wee movie.
Oh my god.
On Netflix.
Well, you'll be my friend, Joe McNeil. Ha! That's my Pee-wee.
Not bad. The alien at the beginning of Pee-wee creeped me the fuck out.
Isn't it weird, that puppet, dude, right?
It doesn't blink. That's what sets me off, man.
That
fuck
movie
them.
Was made for stoners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's fucking, that movie. That messed my day up.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's
absolutely.
New Pee-wee on Netflix.
And it's okay. It's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, it's Pee-wee.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is distilled Pee-wee.
It's got Judd Apatow throwing behind the reins a little bit. So
it's like if you bought a Pepsi Clear in 1992 and then you kept
you
it in your
it?
Closet and now you open it and you're like, this is disgusting. What happened? But I guess that's what it was like.
Fair enough.
And that's what the Pee-wee movie is.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/
spit on you. All right.
Thanks. Yeah. The camera knows that now, too.
Okay.
Thank you. Facebook.com/experiencegrind. You can find us at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast. And then find us on Stitcher, iTunes. Download us there. Leave a review. As always, please let us know what you think about the show. Like, let us know future suggestions. Like, we love to hear them. And you can also find us doing videos at twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
Mm-hmm.
And was there one I forgot? I
think YouTube, that's... but we don't really have a YouTube name. But you can find us.
Just search, yeah.
Yeah. And if you subscribe and we get 100, then we can have a name that you can search for us under.
Ooh, a name.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, get some dummy accounts together and give us 100 subscribes.
Oh. On YouTube?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that all it takes? Because we can just knock that out.
That's
real
what I'm
quick.
Thinking. We might just do that anyways, because we just need 100 and then we can make our own. So anyways,
don't be surprised
I'll
if the week following this we have 100.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's totally legit. We didn't do it illegally.
We're not making dummy accounts on YouTube.
Everybody on the internet is fake anyways. Nobody's real.
No,
it's true.
Everybody who downloads this is just me.
Except ironically,
like
Paris Hilton
times.
Has never been more real than on internet. I don't know. That was dumb.
I don't know what you were going
Strike
for.
Strike that from the record.
No, it's staying.
I don't know what happened.
I'm going to go ahead and do everybody a favor and shut us the fuck up right now. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. We have been Experience Grind Podcast. Grind out.
Why are you still listening to the podcast?